Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello, good evening, and happy holidays, everybody. I am Verna Milton, your host for tonight's Verna's Health Foundation Metroplex Buzz. And I am so happy to be with you this evening. And I am, I just saw someone click in here, so I think my special guest is online. But tonight, and we'll start in every first Thursday, we're starting tonight of each month. On the first Thursday, we want to give all our churches and small businesses, new and old, and we want to help small businesses grow. So if you have a tax or CPA business, a new boutique, or a specialty shop, beauty or barber shop, we want to know who you are, and we want to help you in the community. So as we move forward, our podcast is designed to let people know what's happening in our churches as well, because we want our churches to grow, to go back to inside the churches together, as the Bible teaches us to in the book of Hebrews. But we want people to know that some churches are open, and for them to try to help their churches. If they had a church before the pandemic, to please help that church, because so many churches is hurting because people is watching TV instead of coming back and gathering in the church. So this is one of the main reasons why we wanted to have our podcast dedicated for free, no cost to anyone, on Thursday evenings to use as they need to. But tonight, I'm so excited because it's Christmas, and I love Christmas. I love the lights, and I love the shopping in this as well. So I wanted to talk with a special guest, and tonight we have two. We have Mr. Travis Wortham. Mr. Wortham is with Buy a Kid a Bike and Men's Warriors Group. I think this is a group that gives young boys hope and vision. Also, we have Mrs. Windsor Barbie, who is the marketing consultant for Christmas in the Park. And that is done by the S.M. Wright Foundation. So we want to bring them on and see how we can actually help our youth and how the families can get registered. Okay, Mr. Wortham, are you there?
I am here.
Well, thank you. Thank you for being here tonight. I was wondering if you all was going to get on here on time, because it was 6 or 7 o'clock. Oh, yeah, and everybody, we're starting a new time. This is our new time, from 7 to 8. That way it gives everybody time to do other things before 9 o'clock. So we changed our time since the daylight saving time changed. We changed, too. So, Mr. Wortham, I am so happy to have you back on our show again. You are so informative, and I saw you. I think he was on the news today with Mrs. I think her name is Harris. She's with the Highland Park Village cafeteria. She was the owner, wasn't she, Miss Barbara?
Not the cafeteria. It was called a Celebrity Cafe and Bakery of Highland Park Village.
Okay. Well, I saw that you all had a fantastic book signing today. Congratulations.
That's great.
Okay. So can you tell us a little bit about who your group, Buy a Bike, is all about, and what you need from the community, and how we can join you and possibly get people's children bikes?
Well, thank you so much. I'm more than happy to do that. Our nonprofit 501c3 is called Warriors Hope and Compassion. Mm-hmm. So we are tax exempt. And this project, I mentor 7 school principals. And we get kids out of all the different schools who come from financially indigent families, but who are respectful kids, who practice good character, who are passing all of their courses, and just wonderful kids whose parents would not be able to financially afford them a bike for Christmas. And as you can imagine, most of these are single parents. So I gather some of my friends and bankers and as many people as I can find who are willing to commit to one bike or two bikes or five bikes so that we can brighten some eyes on Christmas morning.
I see. Okay. So what is it that, or how can they, if a person is listening, if they don't go to those schools, can they still apply with you?
Yes, ma'am. They can contact me at my cell, 214-399-7171. And if they send me their information and their request to help, I will give them all the details, and they send me an email. I will send them the flyer of the event and a tax ID form.
Okay. Now, is that for the donors or is that for the parents with the children?
For the donors.
For the donors, okay. Those who want to donate, you need to contact Mr. Wortham at his cell. Now,
yes.
For children who may not be in the seven schools, how can they contact you if their parents want to sign up their children for a bike?
Well, they could do it through the same number. Now, part of our issue is most of the bikes we currently have are already committed. Matter of fact, we don't even have enough yet. We have more kids than we have bikes. But they can surely reach out to me. I can't guarantee them a bike because, as I said, we currently have more kids than we have bikes.
Okay. Now, what do you think? I know your organization, you try to grow these children to become champions, and there's not only in their schoolwork but athletic work. So what else do the Warriors Group do?
And it's not just a Warriors Group. We are a multi-program unit throughout the Metroplex. Youth Believing in Change, for instance, is in North Dallas. Then we got Dare to Dream. So we have multiple youth groups, including Anton Lucky's group, where he is working. They are mentoring children of incarcerated fathers. So we have multiple youth groups going on around in major pockets around the city. And I can help connect them to any of those groups. And, of course, he also deals with the gangs that are going on in the city. So there are multiple groups that we are affiliated with, and we're always looking for volunteers to do more.
I see. Okay. So the volunteers can also call that number that you gave, your cell phone number?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And will you give us that number again, Mr. Wortham, also?
Yes.
Would you repeat
214-399-7171.
Okay.
And again, we are 501c3.
Okay.
Tax exempt.
Yes. Okay, now, also, I don't know who Reverend Wright get his bikes from, but I tell you, he gives so many bikes away. And we have Sister Barbie on the phone. I think this is her on the line. And Munza, are you there? Is this your?
Yes, I am, Verna. How are you doing this evening?
I'm just fine. And I know when I went over to S.M. Wright's office, I mean that big warehouse, I was just amazed with everything that was in there. I thought I was in a furniture store and everything else. So I even want to go shop. I want to go shopping in that place. So what is what I'm saying that? Can you kind of give us an idea? Because maybe you and Mr. Wortham can work with you all and to get some of the children who haven't got the bikes yet a bike.
How are you doing this evening, Mr. Wortham?
I'm doing well. And, you know, Miss Barbie and I went to church together at Concord.
I know.
That's correct. Absolutely correct. Well, Verna, as you were saying, the SM Wright Foundation is getting ready for the 25th annual Christmas in the Park. And a lot of individuals, it's a pretty big giveaway. It's held at the Fair Park Automobile Building. This year, the date is next Saturday, coming up on the 16th. Not this week Saturday, but next week Saturday. And doors would open at 8:30. But what happens each year, a lot of people want to participate with their families and get toys and bikes and coats and clothes and furniture, and then they get groceries for the families during the Christmas holiday break. But they don't know how to register. So registration is open. So individuals can register this Saturday, December the 9th, from 9:30 a.m. to 2 p.m. over at People's Missionary Baptist Church. And the address is 3119 Pine Street. And it's over in South Dallas between Malcolm X and 2nd Avenue. They need to bring some of the things that they need to bring with them when they come to register. They need to have proof of ID. They need to have their Texas driver's license, ID card, something like that. They're going to need proof of residency. So they need to bring like a phone, light bill or gas bill, water bill, something like that. They need to bring a payroll, a pay stub to prove their payroll. And if they're not working, they need to let the worker know that they're currently unemployed at this time. And they also, for the children, they need to bring the birth certificates for the children so that they can get the kids registered. A lot of times it may be the grandparent that's doing the registration. Maybe the grandparent is raising the child. So the grandparent needs to be sure to bring something that links that child to them. And when they go up to the office, a lot of people said they couldn't make it Monday through Thursday. So this year, Pastor Wright will have registration being done on Saturday. So this is the last Saturday. And then next week, if they can't make it Saturday, registration will be going on Monday through Thursday next week back over at the church from 9:30 until 2. So this Saturday, the 9th, from 9:30 to 2 at People's Missionary Baptist Church. And once again, that address is 3119 Pine Street, and that's over in South Dallas. There's a hotline phone number. I'm going to give you the phone number. It's area code 214, and then it's 569-9136. Again, that's 214-565-9136. Or if they need to email, they can email info@smwright, and that's spelled S, the letter S, the letter M, and then WRIGHT Foundation, FOUNDATION.org. But just get over there Saturday morning and get registered at 9:30 a.m.
Okay. You know, Windsor, I am so proud of you and Reverend Wright, because I remember when y'all was teenagers, and I just love being around y'all. And I told him I was going to try to help him, but I guess I could come over there this Saturday, but because next Saturday we're having a big meeting with the Help Foundation. But I'm so very proud of y'all of all what you're doing.
Thank you so very much. But we just want to be sure people get registered, because there, you know, people sometimes do show up at the event, and they'll have a separate line for those that are not registered. But it's all based on if there are anything left after the ones that register have already completed that day. Mm-hmm. We've been fortunate over the years to still have things left over, but we just ask everybody to register so they can be prepared for you and your children.
Okay, okay. Now, Mr. Wortham, the parents that you are trying to get bikes for, can you get them over there to register, or how would you want
that
to do
would
that?
Be- Yeah, that would be pretty difficult. Many of those parents don't have automobiles mm-hmm. and have single parents as well, and they're coming out of multiple schools. So it would be probably pretty difficult. I'm sure there's some that could possibly do that,
mm-hmm.
But I know there's some that would not be able to do that because even at Thanksgiving, I give out a lot of large food baskets. And we mm-hmm. literally had to deliver some of those because of the living conditions.
I see. I see. Well, I can understand. Some people don't have transportation. But I think if they be registered, if they get registered, somehow, though, them right then will get them, will get that to them some type of way. But I'm so very thankful for you all being a part of our show, because I know everybody and every child is looking for a gift for Christmas. Christmas is what children look so forward to. I even look forward to Christmas, getting gifts and things. But we want to make sure that a lot of our children from displaced homes like Mr. Wortham is working with be able to get what they need for Christmas. And Mr. Wortham, I know I have... I text about 45 ministers today, so we may have all of them listening online, and I
yes,
hope
ma'am.
They will be able to call you and take your number to call you to try to help you with some of the children. And I don't know how many groups of churches that have different groups or unions or groups that they work with, but we are asking all of them to try to help. This year, there's so many people that is here, displaced, homeless, and I mean, it's unbelievable what we see every day. And I have, in fact, the Burners Health Foundation is having a legal clinic next month in January the 20th, I believe, at the Mesquite Friendship Baptist Church. And the reason.
Which one?
The reason Mesquite Friendship Baptist Church, that's just off of Highway 80. And the reason why we felt the urgency with this legal clinic is because we have so many parents with children in the public schools that do not have, they need their asylum certification or something to for them to be able to get a decent job, because without their papers, because to get them into the country properly, they can't get jobs. But the children can go to school. Now, they can register their children in school, but they can't register themselves to be able to get a job. And it's hurting because a lot of people is just not being able to make ends meet. And you see, I've seen so many just having to live in hotels like the Six-Days Inn. I think it's called the Six-Days Inn or something like that. But they go to school. School buses pull up in front of these hotels to pick up these children because they can't afford to get a place to live. So it's hurting, but it's happening. And somehow we have to help them. And at our legal clinic, we're going to have a lot of people there who possibly need some help. We're going to have some attorneys there to help them. We're going to have some attorneys to help on for divorces, which is called a family. It's called a family attorney. He deals with family law, criminal law, as well as immigration law. So we have our judges. Dominique Collins is one of our judges who moderates our legal clinic. Her and Audrey Moorhead. So they'll be there to welcome the people and see what we have. It's always a good legal clinic where people can get free pro bono assistance. So So we're looking forward to that, which will be January the 20th of next month. So we don't want, nobody's calling the church at Mesquite Christian Baptist. Don't start calling the church and asking them who's going to be there. Just come. The North Texas Legal Services, their attorneys will be there. They got quite a few. And so we're asking other attorneys who might want to come out and help us and be a part of the community and give your services. We're asking them to be there as well. And especially with those who we're going to talk about estate law, because so many people is talking about the taxes and they can't pay their taxes. If they don't pay their taxes, what'll happen to their estate? And things like that. So it's a lot of problems out here. It's a lot of hurt, but there's a lot of help, and hopefully we can do something to change lives. So, Mr. Wortham, do you have more you want to tell us, talk to us about?
Well, I think I had mentioned that I'm doing a lot when it comes to restoring men to God's favor. Mm-hmm. That includes going into the prisons, that includes working with them in the second chance programs, and every chance I get an opportunity to speak to men, we are dealing with the issues that have caused our family's demise and how we right that ship in restoring men back to our families, because we know that is the answer. And then we know that every negative statistic centers around either the absence or the abuse of men in the family. And we are trying to help men gain some of that intervention spiritually, helping them get those jobs, helping them get places to live, and then restoring them back to working with their children. So that's one of my goals right now, one of my main priorities, and every opportunity I can get to talk about that. I mean, obviously, I talk about my book as it relates to all of this, because that's what the book is basically about, how we restore our kids and how we restore our families and our marriages. So every opportunity y'all can help me get to put me in a place to talk about the drugs, the sex and human trafficking, all the stuff that is damaging our kids, then I am available to go in and talk about those issues.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, hopefully one day we can get you into one of our forums. We can have something at our churches where you can come and talk to some of the people. But I'm working with Open Doors. Do you work with that group as well, Christine?
No. Oh, I'm sorry.
Do you know Christine?
I don't.
Crane. Christine Crane used to be she was the on the board, the parole board out of Austin. But she has Opening Doors for people who have been incarcerated as well. Also, she's one possibly that we can hook you up with if you don't know her. She's one of our
living legends. I'd love to.
Okay. She's one of our living legends that we're going to be honoring in June. But her program is for helping people such as me who've been incarcerated. And so do Dominique Collins have a court. She has a program also in her court to help those. So there's help for them, but what I'm looking at, and I've seen a lot of, is that mentality of not going to work, not wanting to work. Some of them still have that mentality when they come home, is that they're not programmed to get up and go to work. So and I do talk to quite a few, because I used to work in the system too. As a law enforcement officer, and I know things when I see things. So one of the things that I see is that we have to give them some type of training. I mean, just putting them on a job is one thing, but we need to train them. They need to get retrained, because if they don't know anything, to go out there and get a decent job. In other words, forklift drivers make a lot of money if they know how to drive a forklift. Some of these people will want to, you know, get that license to drive a forklift. I mean, besides being an 18-wheeler on a truck, they have free truck school. But besides that, they need to learn and have other opportunities they can learn from as well. So we do help.
And if I might add, I work with several groups that do exactly what you are describing.
Mm-hmm.
They literally go into the prisons and work with them for 6 months. And if they graduate out of their programs, which they get certified, then they earn opportunities to come into the housing, to go into job training, and to go into employment. So it is a process that includes all of what you've just described.
Mm-hmm.
And Rod Ministries is a conglomerate of ministries that go into prisons from many different churches, and they're trying to do exactly what you just described.
Mm-hmm. Okay. It's called ROB, R-O-B?
No, R-O-D.
R-O-D,
ROD. And I can text you the information.
Okay.
Dr. Jeffrey is over that organization.
Mm-hmm.
I can text you over that.
Okay, we need to probably bring him on the air too, to talk about to his program, because we're trying to get that into the churches as well as on our podcast, because so many people needs to know that. I hope that we can change things, but most of all, we need to also give them encouragement and let them know, give them some type of spiritual guidance. And a lot of these young men feel like, you know, they don't have anybody to really trust or a preacher they can go to, and I think they need more of spiritual guidance as well. So we'll talk with Rod Ministries, and hopefully they will tell us a little bit more about what they're doing.
Okay. And also Reverend Dr. Chris Simmons over at Cornerstone. He's doing the same thing on an even larger scale.
Mm-hmm.
So we can get both of them on your program at different times.
Okay. Now, how many people do you think Chris Jones? I know I've seen so many people come over there. How many do you think that he sees a week? Oh, he has a very big program.
Well, now, keep in mind, he has about 15 different ministries going on in that community at the same time. From an entrepreneurs program, for feeding the homeless program, to a building with 19 showers where the homeless can come in and take showers. And it ain't a handout. He is lifting up that community. He is even hiring some of the homeless to run the different programs and giving them housing as a part of their salary. So he's really doing stuff that's blowing that community up in ways that's really changing the game for people's lives.
Right, right. Well, I applaud him for that, because I know I've seen him do a lot of work. I've seen a lot of people over there. And they, a lot of the inmates, when they come home, they love his ministry. I mean, the people that's free and don't have nowhere to go, they feel like they can talk with him and go there without being embarrassed or being mistreated. So I applaud him for that, what he's doing. So I want to give Windsor, I know Windsor's still on the line. I want to know, if there's anybody who's listening who wants to ask Dr. Wortham and Mrs. Barbie any questions, all you have to do is push the one button. I'm sorry, I should have told you all that in the beginning. You can just push the one button if you have questions that you may want to ask them, and I can see that you want to come on the air to talk with them. And so, Windsor, do you have some more comments that you want to add to this as well? Windsor? Hello?
I'm here, Bernard.
Okay. Do you have any more comments that you want to add to your?
No. I think everybody's getting ready for the holidays, and it's going to be great. Mr. Wortham getting his bicycles together over there, and Pastor Wright getting his together. I think it's going to be a great giveaway, and I think it's going to really help a lot of families that are in need of a little support to kind of help make sure something's under the Christmas tree for the kids.
Thank you. And now
add one more thing?
Okay.
Dallas County Health and Human Services, we just did this last week. We went on a project to feed the homeless over off of Martin Luther King and Home Street. And we partnered with Health and Human Services, and they brought out the mobile unit to do the COVID testing and give shots, immunizations, et cetera. And for everyone that did that, they got a $25 gift certificate for Walmart.
Mm-hmm.
So just want to make you aware that we're in contact with them in a collaboration where they will give those who come out gift cards.
Okay. Well, you know what, Mr. Wortham, I may want to ask you to help us with that next month when we have our legal clinic, because when we have our legal clinic, we may have some people who may want to get that vaccination. Okay.
Yes, ma'am. I'm sure we could possibly get them out.
Okay. Okay, because I think that would be good for them to come there for that as well as get some legal help at the same time. And I'm so proud of the Vernus Health Foundation, our board of directors. They are working with us all the time, giving their time. We don't have a paid staff, nobody, and I haven't gotten paid in 43 years. But but the Lord blesses me so much in so many other ways besides a paycheck from the Vernus Health Foundation. But our board is a volunteer board, and they give their time, their funds, their money to make things happen for us. And I just want to thank them. Also, we have a very strong board of directors, and thank them for working with us and being with us. I want to say that next week we have a young lady coming out of Houston. She's also she got an award from Michelle Obama and the Obamas when they was there at the White House as being one of the she was honored for what she was doing, helping the women veterans. Her name is Marilyn Harris. Marilyn Harris, I met in Houston. I was there to talk to some schools down there about some clear backpacks, and I needed some sales. I needed a sales team in Houston. And I heard her speak at the hotel that I was staying in, and I met her just that one day. And we have become like sisters because she and her friend is also my sales team in Houston for my business. We have several manufacturers that make clear backpacks, and I love trying to make sure that Texas have them all over. But they took on my Houston area for me to sell clear backpacks. But she has abundance of information to help women's veterans. And veterans, period, to teach them how to go to school, how to get their children free education, and how she has sent both of her children to college they all went to college for free. And there's a way that she wants to tell people how they can do that. Not only can they go back to school, but the kids can go back to school. So she's going to be our guest next week, and she has abundance of information. She can talk for 2 hours. I heard her speak in Houston, and she had a room full of young women, old women, that was very attentive of what she was saying. So I want you all to tune in next week to hear Merlin, because she will be our guest her name is Dr. Marilyn Harris. And I think you can go online, and I have something, advertisement about her already, talking about her being our special guest. And also the Vernon's Health Foundation, I think there may be something on social media about our events for as the workshop that we're having for our legal clinic. It's really a legal workshop. So I think we have a lot going on. I'm very thankful very thankful to my board of directors, but mostly all I'm thankful to God that I'm able to still do this. At 74 years old, it's kind of hard to still do what you used to do when you was 25. And I'm very thankful. Okay, do y'all have any more comments? I see that you all are still on. I can hear you. So do you all have any more comments, Windsor? Mr. Wortham?
Well, no, Bronner, just thank you so very much for including the information. And just thank you, and everybody just have a great holiday season. And getting ready for 2024, the new year.
Thank you.
And if you'll send me any flyers on any of the events you're describing, I will blast it all over my social media, and I've got a lot of people on my social media to listen in next week.
Okay, because this young lady is fantastic, and she, in fact, she hopes the city of Houston has given her awards after awards. Washington D.C., she's been recognized there, and one of the things me and her talk about is how the Holy Spirit brought us together, and how that's what keeps us. And I tell everybody. To be prayerful, because whatever you do and you think that you can't make it, you need to, instead of talking to everybody about your problems, take it to the Lord. Talk to him about it. You know, I had one of my friends who was telling me all of her problems, and I couldn't help her at all. I said, have you really talked to the Lord about all of this? She said, no, I'm telling you about this, but people need to really realize that they need to talk to God more and let him hear your problems and take your problems to him and trust him to work it out, because man can't help you like God can. People don't have the money that they think that, you know, I think everybody in the world think that I have a lot of money. I don't have no money, but God provides for me. So whatever money we do have, it's not like it used to be. So we can't always say we're going to have money all the time. And I'm confronted with this quite often, because people think that, you know, if I'm helping you through our organization, I ought to have some money, and that's not true. So I help people because we can help. I know people such as like Mr. Wortham, Windsor, Dr. Wright, Dominique, you know, people who's in the courts. I know them who will want to give their time, pro bono lawyers who I've talked to who said, Bernard, I'll come help you. I know people that will come out and help me to help you. So we're not paying them anything. They all work for free. So giving all praises to God, I just thank him for allowing us to still be here. And allowing me to have the sense enough and the strength enough to keep carrying this on. And I'm just so proud of what God has done, you know, in my life. Till I enjoy talking about it. And another thing, and Wesley, I'm going to mute. I think I may be listening to some of you all you in the background. I hear your background. But I hope you all stay with me, because I want to say something. And if you have some questions about what I'm fixing to say, Mr. Wortham, Windsor, or the other people that I see on this board, just hit one and I will bring you back on. But let me share something. But this is my testimony, because people don't think that I'm my age, number one. They swear I'm not as old as I am. But it's all God. It's all because of the grace of God that he's taught me to have sense enough to get my rest when I need to get my rest. And to stay home when I need to stay home. So I want to thank him for everything that he's done. But most of all, like, I'm very proud of a book that I wrote. We call it My Power in Three. And in that book, we're going to have our first book signing. The first book signing here in Dallas. I had a book signing last year in Fort Worth, and it went so well till I got tired of writing. I just got tired of talking and writing. And I told my husband, I said, do you think I can do this? He said, we need to do it some more. But for 2 hours, I really got tired of writing my name and asking them what they want me to say in that book. But we sold over 55 books, I believe, within 2 hours, maybe an hour and a half. But I went to, in fact, Wednesday, it was your friend's bookstore called Doc Bookstore in Fort Worth, Texas, where I was born. I had to take my first book signing back to Fort Worth because that's my home. My home is where I was born, raised, went to Sunday school. I walked the streets in the stockyard because my daddy worked in the stockyard. So things like that I'm talking about in my book. I'm talking about how my mother and dad raised us in the church. But when I came to Dallas, when I got 19 years old and got married, I came to Dallas. And if I was a different color, I'm just going to say this, if I was a different color, everybody would have known what we did back then. Last night I had to look up on Google the Judy Locke Community Center. The Judy Locke Community Center is located at 2122 Idaho, right off of Illinois Street, two blocks over from, I think, Marsalis. But it's on the Illinois and Marsalis area. And I was telling my husband how that house was worth now $156,000. Less than 1,200 square feet. It had three bedrooms, one bath. But that house, we got that house for $10 from a friend by the name of Edward Wynn. Mr. Wynn was one of the HUD's officers there at that time. But he gave us that house for $10. And today, the value of that house is $100 and some. And the picture of the house still looked the same, how we renovated it, all that. But that house, as I looked at that house, it brought back memories how it was not a white person. Let me just give it to you. It wasn't a white person that bought that North Texas Food Bank to Dallas, to Texas. It was white grocery owners, yes. But those grocery owners had to get documentation that Dallas needed a food bank, number one. The Department of Agriculture had an officer by the name of Sam Cornelius, a black man, who came to Dallas in 1981. And when he met me and Al Lipscomb, he was with Clarence Thomas, who was at that time over EEOC. Because I had gotten every job I wanted. My degree is in data processing and business administration. I never could keep a job. I had about 3 or 4 EEOC claims in EEOC offices back then. But Clarence Thomas was over EEOC at that time. He is still alive today. Sam Cornelius is still alive today there in Washington. Armstrong Williams, still alive today. Those three guys came down. And we talked to them because they wanted us, Mr. Cornelius, those guys was his best friends, but they wanted us to make sure if these people wanted a food bank and the Department of Agriculture to help them, they had to have document proof that they had a need in Dallas for that. Al Lipscomb was a very close friend to Buddy Minyard as well as Jack Evans. Mr. Lipscomb and I had to take documentation, take down everybody's name who came through that community center to pick up cheese and butter. That was the documentation. When we signed up 1,000, 2,500, whatever day we had, As I looked at that house last night, I could see the people lined up on that house all the way down the streets and around the corner down Mars and down Illinois Street. Some even lined up going toward Marsalis Street, but they was in line coming to pick up just cheese and butter. We have, and the only reason why people believe me today, because I have newspaper clippings to show them where the when the newspaper wrote about it. So they can't say we didn't have that. Also, we had to keep all that cheese and butter at a storage on the corner of Cadiz and Industrial called Alfred Warehouse back then. And when I tell you Alfred Warehouse had to keep all that storage, it was a big, huge warehouse. And the man who helped us get Alfred Warehouse, his name was Pete Shinkles. Pete Shinkles is still alive today. So when I tell you it was our documentation in order for them to be have to do the implementation of the North Texas Food Bank, you believe that because that's in my book. My book has so much history in it, till Mr. Wortham, and I'm so proud of that because it was the Lord who put it on my heart to write it. But I also, I'm telling people how he nourished me. He helped me. He gave me the thoughts, the remembrance. I'm in my 70s, in 74. I'm not going to be ashamed of that. But I still have the memory. I can see us doing what we used to. I can picture that in my mind today. And I'm so thankful to Reverend Flemings. I'm so thankful to, I really do love these people because they meant so much to me. At age 19, I got water baptized at Reverend Fleming's mom and dad's church, which I live like three doors down the street from their church. And my mother had always taught me, if you're going to move away from home, you still go to church. You find a church that you can go to or that you can belong to that you need to join. So my husband wasn't going, but I saw this church and I walked down there because it was three doors down from my house, off of Diceman and Cedar Crest is where we lived. And at that time, it was a church there called Greater South Central. And Fred Walker, who is the president on our board today, he also is a member of Freedom. And he too went to that same church that I went to. So when I tell you how the Lord bring people back into your life, and they're part of your history, they're part of my history. So I'm going to Freedom Baptist Church next month to do my first book signing in Dallas, Texas. Not only am I going to talk about that, I'm going to show newspaper clippings of everything that me and Al Lipscomb did. Al Lipscomb was like a daddy to me, like a father, uncle, he and Miss Lovey. And Judy Lott was to her and Frank Lott. Those people is no longer here. But I stand on their shoulders. They mentored me and they taught me so very much. So very thankful, but I'm mostly thankful to God that I still have my memory. There's so much that I did with them. Beside the food bank, we did a lot more. That book is talking about the documentation we had for the Dallas First Homeless Shelter. And I was telling this lady who works there now, and she was in front. Didn't nobody say that you did none of this? She said, I thought that, she told me that about Stark Taylor. I said, well, did you not know Stark Taylor's wife was on our board back then? She and Annette Strauss was on our board. Yes, he was the mayor, but Annette Strauss was his mayor pro tem. And I hope are you all still there, Windsor? I think there you are. I still have you, yeah. My computer here is, if I don't hit a certain key, it'll go off. But when I told this lady, I said, now, if I was a white girl, y'all would believe me. Because I'm black, you don't believe that. So I had to bring her some, I had to show her some newspaper clip, and I just showed her one page. I said, now, Stark Taylor had a wife by the name of Carolyn. Carolyn Taylor was on our board. And when we had that family in our house who didn't have nowhere to live, I talk about how that family got there and how many children they had, five children, and we was not going to put them back on the streets. Dallas did not have a homeless shelter. It was Al Lipscomb and myself who called, and we learned that nobody would take that family. And when we told our board of directors, and Mrs. Strauss and Carolyn Taylor was on our board, Carolyn told her husband, who was the mayor, Ms. Strauss was there, and today we have Levi Davis on our board for the Vernon's Health Foundation. Levi, at that time, was assistant city manager because Stark Taylor had made the first city manager, which was Richard Knight. We never had a black city manager before until Stark Taylor appointed Richard Knight. So when he appointed Richard Knight, Levi remained, but he was the assistant city manager. Now, Levi is on the Vernon's Health Foundation board today. I don't have to have a book that's not in my, that book is so much history, and people did not know that. And I'm so proud of that, to be able to have written. I'm not a book writer. I didn't go to school to know how to write. I wrote this book, and my publisher in New York, he said, Ms. Milton, we can't afford to get sued. Do you have this documented? I had to show him the newspapers before he would even print that book, because it's a lot of history. It's a lot of history. And I want to thank, I don't know if Ron Fleming is listening tonight or not, but he know I love him. I love his sister Judy, because I was raised with them. Judy was our organist, and I sung in the choir with Phil Flemings, and he told us when he was felt like he was going to preach. So I've been knowing him just that long, and so I want, just like I took my first book signing back home, I'm bringing it back home here in Dallas with my best friend, Phil Flemings, and it's going to be at his church also next month. And I think that book signing is going to be on the 20th. I'm not for sure, but it's going to be on social media. We're going to advertise it on social media. And so and we plan on selling books. We plan on selling books, taking orders if we run out. So I want to thank you all. We don't have very much time. I have enjoyed my evening. And talking, and so I look forward to the things that's upcoming, but I'm very thankful that my memory is still here, and
yes, ma'am,
I'm very thankful. So I just want to know, let everybody know that. And so to you all, we have maybe like 2 or 3 minutes. Is there anybody who have comments that they want to say before we end our night's episode?
Well, all I want to say is, if you will send me any information about either of those events you got coming up, I will not only try to be there, I will try to rally others to be there as well. So
oh,
just making you aware. And for you to be aware, I can always get you speakers who have relevant information that people in the community need to hear.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So okay. Just be aware of that.
I, you know, meeting you is a godsend. You know that, right? I don't
praise
meet everybody.
God.
I don't meet God. God put people in my path for a reason. And sometimes, and I tell people, in my book, I talk about there's a reason for there, and there's a season. So that's also in my book, because God put it on my mind to put that there. And I want to tell everybody that book was written by the Holy Spirit, because the cover, my nephew had to design that cover. For 2 months, I was arguing with him about he wasn't the right thing that the Lord had showed me. And he said, "Aunt Vern," he said, "why don't you pray and ask him, he was asking, telling me what to ask the Lord." I said, "That's not what God told me to put on that cover. when we got that cover, when the Holy Spirit told me exactly what to do, they told me to make him put those statues in a V. Make him put it in a V so they can all connect. That cover is a very unique cover, but it was what the Lord had showed me to put there. And that's designed by my nephew, who is he's an engineer at Elgin Air Force Base in Florida. And he took time on his part time doing that for me, and he designed my book cover. So I'm very thankful for that. I'm very thankful to the Holy Spirit for just keeping me to have been able to do this. And I dedicate that book back to God and all my family members and things like that. So on that day at Freedom Baptist Church, there was a man who, me and Al Lipskin and Miss Lott them, we gave him a lot of flack, I guess. He said we got on his nerves, which we probably did. But he, at the time, he was a very good friend of Nolan. That was because they brought him to town to test these young boys. And he had 5,000 kids he had to test. How he did all that, I don't know. But when he came to town, he met with us as parents and as community leaders. He's going to be there at my book signing. His name is Dr. Alan Sullivan. There's so many teachers who have worked in DIS. He has never met Dr. Alan Sullivan. But he said, Miss Verna, he said, I'm coming to your, I said, please, Mr. Sullivan, I want you to be there just for the crowd to see you and to shake hands with you, because he helped us do what we needed to do, and that was to change that program called Plan A. And so I'm very thankful to him. So he's going to be there also at my book signing, Mr. Wortham. Mr. Wortham, have you ever met Dr. Sullivan before? Mr. Wortham?
He is my number one mentor.
Okay. He's your mentor?
For 40 years.
For 40 years. Okay. Now, he knows a lot. Did you not know that Dr. Martin Luther King was his Sunday school teacher? He was in.
Yes, ma'am. I know a lot about his history.
And he have a lot of pictures. And just like I kept my pictures, he kept his pictures. So me and him go back a long ways. But one thing, he has a good memory. His memory is keen, just like mine. So I told him how much I thank God for him, but keeping our memory intact. You know, we still remember things like that. So I'm going to be excited because I want Reverend Flemings to meet him. I want him to, the church to meet him and everything. So I look forward to it. And Fred, I think Fred goes to that church. One of our board members, vice president, he goes to that church as well. So we're very proud of him and the entire board, because they're behind me. They're going to be there helping me get people there. So I'm very thankful to all of them, and to the sorority sisters that's working with their sororities trying to get them there.
And Verna.
So
Dr. Sullivan is responsible for introducing Amber, my daughter, to Debbie Allen in fourth grade. Sullivan was responsible for the Debbie Allen dance camp initially involving the Dallas Independent School District students in that camp with Debbie Allen. And Dr. Sullivan has always supported Amber, and he has been there in her corner, and that is one of the reasons that she even was able to study with Debbie Allen for over 15 years. It was all because of Dr. Sullivan.
Well, you know, Winslow, when I talked to him last night, he had so much information. And he can't come on the show this month because, you know, he got a lot of things going on. He got his grandkids in town and stuff like that. But I told him we're going to next month. My book signing, I think, is on the 20th or 27th. But he'll be ready then. So I hope that he will. But he has so much history, so many pictures of things, he even have a picture of Kennedy. His auntie hosted. In Massachusetts, his auntie hosted Kennedy's first reception. They took pictures with him. He still got those pictures. So I'm just so thankful to know him. And he also wrote my foreword. To tell everybody too, he is the one that wrote the foreword for my book, in my book. And so I'm very proud of him. Me and him goes back a long ways, and he knows that. But because of what he'd done for us, he was a sharp specialist they brought in to test these children, and they found 5,000 kids had been misplaced. And if we hadn't have been agitators, or we hadn't have been concerned parents, they would have never done that. We even found out that one teacher even forged my name to put my son there. I had to put him out of there and put him in private school because his life was in danger. So what I'm saying to you, if so much happened back then, and we are still here to talk about it today, I'm excited, I'm thankful, and that he's still alive. And he's very keen, got a very keen memory. So I want people to know that, come out and hear the history, come out and meet my friends that's in this book. So we're gonna look forward to seeing a lot of them not only at my legal clinic, but at our legal clinic, not my legal clinic, our legal clinic, and at my book signing there at Freedom Baptist Church. So you all, it's 8:00. I mean, it's time for us to get off the air right now. And I'm so thankful that you all came on to talk with me, to be a part of our podcast tonight. And I hope our listeners got everything that they wanted to hear and needed to hear. So thank you again, and you all have a happy, happy holidays and Merry Christmas, and be safe.
Okay, Merry Christmas to you as well. Thank you.
All right, thank you, sir. Okay.